In the Occupy Wall Street protests, there are two themes emerging from these sometimes very diverse voices of the protesters. One, income inequality, and two, a general anger with the banking industry, specifically banks and bankers who contributed to the financial collapse and then bounced back into record profits, high salaries, and huge bonuses while the rest of the country struggled.
The obscenely wealthy have bought the government.
The top 1% of the banking elite control most of the wealth.
Bank of America should be investigated for charging compound interest on customers.
I think everyone should boycott Bank of America.
Bank is not your friend, and their first purpose is to enrich their shareholders.
Obviously a common theme among many of our listeners. In fact, J.P. Morgan Chase posted a $17 billion profit last year. For Citi, it was more than $10 billion. And in the second quarter of this year, the banking industry reported $438 billion in profits. That's up $122 billion from 2008. It's a lot of numbers that basically said so far the banking industry has been doing well. But this quarter, there are predictions that for the first time in quite some time, the banks will take a loss while Bank of America prepares to cut tens of thousands of jobs. Here to help us sort through these numbers, as always, is Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
All right. So what are these predictions that banks will take a loss? How well-founded are they?
Well, you know, there are analysts out there predicting that they're going to have lower profits than they've been having, predicting that, you know, profits will be really down to a degree we haven't seen since 2008. And, you know, back in 2008, one of the reasons that there were losses at the banks and much lower revenues is because they were writing down the value of all those mortgage-backed securities that turned out to be so troubled. Now, the reason that profits are going down is a little different. It has to do with the economic slowdown. It has to do with the volatility in the markets related to Europe, the uncertainty around whether Goldman and Morgan Stanley and Bank of America have exposures to Europe. So there's different reasons, but it's you know, looking like they will not have, you know, very good quarters.
And Bank of America seems to be struggling the most. But as you say, I want to be clear here, you're talking about lower profits than before. For most of the banks, they're not actually going to see negative numbers.
That's right. Just lower profits. And what the banks have been doing in the last couple of months to get ahead of this is they've been laying off people and announcing pretty big layoffs, because when their profits go down, they want to cut their expenses, and laying off people is one of the best ways. So one of the interesting twists about this, you know, the people down at Occupy Wall Street, when I've been down there, a lot of them talk about the bonuses people get on Wall Street. So you may see these lower profits and these layoffs and think, oh, bonuses are going to be horrible this year. And they may be down some. But, you know, the more people that these banks lay off mean that the survivors can have higher bonuses.
And a lot of those folks getting pink slips will walk across the West Side Highway straight through that demonstration on their way to the subway. So, I mean, you know, if they get
black car for them after the pink slips.
That's
so
right.
They might have to take the subway near Occupy Wall Street.
You know, you mentioned volatility. Remind us, because I think, you know, maybe a generation ago, volatility would actually mean that investment banks get more in commissions. But trading is really, it's the tiniest part of the business anymore. And so volatility doesn't help trading outfits anymore, even though the stocks are going up and down and there's a lot of churn going on in the markets.
Well, you're right that when there was volatility, there could be more trading. And in the past, they made more money for each trade, but the spreads on trading have gone down a lot. So they don't make as much with the churn. And now the volatility is so big that the odds that they are on the wrong side are greater.
They're losing.
The other thing that's really key here is when you have volatility, then bank customers say, I'm not going to do an IPO. I'm not going to do an M&A deal. That uncertainty in the market leads to an economic gridlock, which affects the banks.
All right, but how does this address something that you've talked about quite a bit before, which is the portion that the banking industry now makes up of our overall economy, which you've said is at an unhealthy level? Does this help shrink that a little?
Well, so part of what you're seeing here is a longer-term secular change. And this was predicted back in 2008 that a result of the financial crisis would be to lower the amount of profits that Wall Street made in terms of the percentage of our overall economy, to lower their presence in the stock market so they weren't as big of a stock market capitalization. people predicted this would happen in 08 and in 09. It did not happen right away because the Fed pumped so much money into the system. Remember, quantitative easing one. So it was delayed. And so when the Fed pumped all that money for in 09 and 2010, it was like free profits for these banks.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that really has the protesters outraged, is that right after the crisis, banking was very lucrative because of the free money from the Fed. But the Fed has been withdrawing that. They started withdrawing it in the spring, pulled a lot of it out. And so now that secular change, which is a result of the financial crisis, seems to be starting to happen.
Although we've been hearing a lot from banks, especially about how much this Volcker rule will affect their business. I mean, in what way will it make it possibly worse when the Volcker rule goes into place?
So there's predictions that it could cut into bond revenues, fixed income revenues at the banks by 35%, that the Volcker rule, there was a version of it proposed this week that the banks are saying is very strict. But remember,
it looks like they're backing away from the Volcker rule.
Well, it's been weakened in some ways, some strengthened in others. But there's two sides to this coin. So what the Volcker rule said is it really restricted how long bank traders could hold on to a stock or a bond. So it basically said, what came out this week said, they can't just sit on it and look around for a customer for days and days and days. They have to already know a customer wants something. And one of the ways in trading banks used to make a lot of money was holding on to those things. It was kind of their own version of betting on it for a while. They're not going to be able to do as much of that. So yes, it'll cut into their profits, but guess what? It also will decrease their risk. And remember, we bailed them out, and there's a general societal consensus that you want them to be less risky. So
Right. The
question is, what's the right balance between reducing their profitability and reducing their risk?
We also have a number of movements, and one of them is called Bank Transfer Day, of people saying, leave your commercial bank and go to a credit union. I mean, obviously, that's right. That's happening on the thousands of level, but it could get bigger, right, Louise?
Yeah, well, good luck with that, because I will tell you, if you've tried to change your account, talk to people out there, it is very difficult. I mean, you've got your mortgage, you've got your checking, your savings, you've got your automatic bill pay. And so there's a lot of people out there who want to do this. It'll be interesting to see if they are able to. The banking industry has specialized in the last few decades at making their business sticky, at making it hard for customers to move.
We talked with a congressman that wants to change that, but
it's
very
it
difficult.
That would be interesting to see what he'd do.
I don't think people realize until they try it how hard it can be. Louise Story, Wall Street and Finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks, Louise.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.